The Presentation Podcast, episode 109. Here is another Design Studio conversation about presentation design and the business of presentation. Here are the show hosts, Troy Coller, Nolan Hames, and Sandra Johnson.
I'm Troy Coller from TLC Creative Services, based in Southern California.
Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. I'm Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And I'm Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative in Montclair, New Jersey.
Hey guys, we got the three of us gathered ahead of our real conversation here, our real time with Rick Altman and Sheila from the Presentation Summit. But so I wanted to take a chance for us just to kind of talk about what's happening, and then let's go over and transition to some news. I mean, for you, let me just tell me if this is on target or completely off target for what you're experiencing. I mean, we're still in the COVID era, and you know, we're supposed to be nothing to do, forced to stay home. All I can say is so much activity. I feel COVID, the COVID stop to activity is officially over, you know, for us. How are you guys doing?
You're traveling, right?
I'm doing a bit. I'm literally the day this releases, because we're doing this a couple of days early, I will be in San Francisco. So, 6-hour drive. I did not hop on an airplane. But there's a rationale for that. In addition, it gives me the opportunity to take a detour and go visit with my father. We don't get to see each other a lot, and he's halfway up to San Francisco, so I stop in and say hello to him. So I'm having lunch with him. But yeah, San Francisco this week on site. Yeah, and now I'm part of an AV team. Another awesome remote meeting. All the AV crew are together. All the audience is remote. So, the world has kind of changed in that place, but it's there's a lot of benefits to having all the equipment in one place, because you can run it through the traditional show equipment and end up with a, mixed program and audio being leveled out and things like that all work out much better still. So yeah, at the same time, we have two of our team in Los Angeles on site with another AV team. And I know we have at least two other designers dedicated full time to a presentation design project. So that's from our studio, but everybody's working from home still.
So that is a good thing for people to realize that even as conferences are moving remote, still a lot of the behind the scenes people are getting together in person
right, to make it happen.
Yeah, a lot of production companies have gone that route, and a lot of presentations. So on this one's really easy. Next week, Lori is on site at a virtual wall set. So it's a production company that is made, I don't want to say publicly available. They've made available, one of their studios has this complete build out of what you'd normally see at a big conference. Huge LED walls, staging, lighting, cameras, everything's in place. And then other production companies and clients can rent it and use it per day to basically go record their executives. So Lori is going up into it's an amazing place, but she's going up into LA, and we've designed all the presentations for some executives with a very large automotive company that has their national headquarters in Los Angeles area. Anyways, she's going up there to run the presentations that she's been the head of, or worked with their, she's designed the presentations. And she's going on site to another location, but this time it's so that the executives can do the recording. It's a really cool new twist on the whole executive presentation genre. We're still doing presentations. It's still all PowerPoint driven. We'll have to talk about this one later, because the PowerPoint slide design that we put in place actually drove the entire virtual set design, because we were just into the project earlier. So our entire team is back to being overly productive and pretty much having a scheduled out week every week. How are things at Hames Creative and Presentation Wiz?
Sandy, you go. What's going on with you?
That's just awesome, Troy. I mean, talk about making a successful pivot. And that's for both you and Nolan with your businesses from, you were largely on site. I know you both do design, but you are largely on site driven model, moving to a virtual model. And now, Troy, you're in the hybrid kind of offering. I think that's really, really cool. But that said, my business continues to focus on the presentation material. So I'm not doing what what you do anymore, Troy, and I never did it at the level that you did it, but you know, I had an on-site model years ago, decided to walk away from that, but and to focus on the materials and the deliveries that work in either a virtual or on-site environment. So I'm really busy with corporate templates, an amazing array of businesses. The fun project that I just completed, and you've heard me talk about interactive presentations before, but I just completed.
Hot spot for me. I love them.
Oh my gosh. And when the company is committed to ensuring that their sales team, this is a corporate sales presentation, very complex. We have main menus, sub-menus, some sub-menus to those. And their commitment to training the sales team to use this, saying you will use this and you will not edit the presentation. We gave them some flexibility in the intro and the close, but just what a fun project. Started it pre-COVID, just finished it up. Just an awesome endeavor. I do want to say
that. So exciting to hear that design is still being sought after at all levels.
At all levels, exactly. I did not use Zoom with as complex as this was. I just wanted to add that this was done using the traditional custom shows, because when we started this pre-COVID, the company was still on multiple platforms and I just didn't trust the whole Zoom environment.
Now we should wait, Sandy, hold on. We got to clarify, because I think everybody's confused, because I was actually confused, because we use Zoom as a thing now, but Zoom is actually a custom show element within PowerPoint. And again, naming is just getting kind of wonky, because it's like, you weren't using Zoom for this meeting. Who's doing not Zoom, the virtual gathering software, and Zoom, and
not Zoom, the audio hardware either, right?
No, Zoom, the PowerPoint feature. Exactly. So everyone, it's listen to what I just said in the context of PowerPoint Zoom.
Well, it looks like for me, I'm still not doing any physical traveling like you, Troy. Okay. And you know, we went conference season, seems like it's winding down for me, virtual conference season in terms of where I'm speaking. But the project work continues, as do webinars. And I've got a couple of public ones coming up. September 17th, I'm doing a webinar on PowerPoint charting for Business Watch Network. We'll put the link there. And there is a cost for that. But September 23rd, I'm doing a free webinar. I'm doing my presenting in a remote world session that I've been doing a whole lot for clients. And that's going to be for my alumni association at Northwestern. And it is open to the public. So the link will be there as well. And one thing I learned when you offer to do a free webinar for your alma mater, they publicize it and tell everyone how old you are. Because they put in the year you graduated. So that's been nice. So if you want to find out how old I am, go register for my webinar through Northwestern. But yeah, so that's going on. And yeah, we've got project work pouring in, lots of InDesign, lots of PowerPoint. And
it's fun to be busy.
All right, so let's talk about news.
Oh my gosh, there is so much news. Let's dive in. There's like, you know, I picked a few things. I know everybody picked a few things. Let's just see if we can get through all these.
All right, let's go through. Let's not take an hour with it. But speaking of the conference season, the call for speakers has gone out for Creative Pro Week 2021. Now, as of now, they're planning on hosting it in Washington, D.C. As with everything, you know, we'll see. But if you have spoken before at a conference or have not spoken before at a conference, this is your time. So we'll put the link in the show notes. But really, anything on presentation design, PowerPoint, anything Adobe, InDesign, Photoshop, Illustrator, all conferences are always looking to get new blood in. So if you've never spoken before, but you think you want to give it a shot, definitely go there and submit an idea or two.
That is cool to make that available. I've got one, a little bit of news here. I don't know if anybody's noticed it, but when you're in PowerPoint, you know, and say you highlight some text, there's that little floaty toolbar that comes up. It's actually officially called the PowerPoint mini toolbar, but it's the little dynamic toolbar that usually comes up when you want it, when you don't want it to, and then when you don't want it. When you don't want it, it kind of is there. And then when you do want it, you're always like, how do I get it to show up? Well, it has actually expanded. Has anybody noticed this? I was like, wait a minute, it's bigger. So according to Microsoft, they have some AI-powered adaptive stuff going on. Official name is it's the adaptive toolbar now. And what it does is if you select text, like a table or a shape, the mini toolbar automatically appears above those elements. That we've always seen.
Oh, I've seen, yes. Yeah.
There are now three larger buttons on the far right of it, and they show your most recent used elements. So it is kind of tracking which tools you've used. So if you were working and you were doing fill color, actually, I don't know if fill color would be one because I think that's already on the toolbar. But my example is whatever you've done, it's the idea is it's supposed to make it so you're not taking as many trips up to the ribbon. I think it also is another step towards using a more collapsed ribbon. I love the... oh my gosh, when you're on the web version, the simplified ribbon. It's just, you know, it's not a collapsed ribbon. It's literally most of the most commonly used tools available. I love that. I'm waiting for it to come to the desktop. I think it's a great addition. And this, I still think using the floaty toolbar is a little difficult because people don't know how to control when it pops up. But the fact is it is getting better. So that's a new feature.
And that's PowerPoint. Only on the PC. The Mac doesn't have the floaty ever. As far as I know, it's never.
Oh, no floaties on the Mac.
I'm fine with it. I mean,
hey, I got another one here only because Nolan, you might actually have something to say about this one. PowerPoint. Well, I actually, this is an Excel thing. So in Excel, I know that Microsoft made a big note about new astronomy and chemistry data types. So if I only knew what those meant, I mean, I did go to the little article, I'll post it in the show notes, and there's some pretty cool dynamic stuff it can do. Like it now can plot where all the planets are by just putting in the planet name and some other things. But have you seen anything like this, Nolan, or even noticed that?
I haven't. I mean, you do know that I speak every year to this group of astronomers
yeah.
just did a couple weeks ago, and I have not played around with it because I don't really understand it myself. But that said, I shouldn't talk about it until we sign the contract, but I'm almost there to working with this incredible astrophysicist on their presentation.
Cool.
So on their public presentation. So hopeful. So this might actually come in really handy because they have lots and lots of equations.
That is awesome.
They have two versions of it. They have a public version and a professional version. And the professional version is just my eyes. There's lots of numbers and lots of equations.
And, oh my gosh.
So I will maybe be checking that one out. Sandy, what do you have?
Well, now what I'm about to say is in regard to Zoom, the web casting software. On August 4th, Zoom announced that we can now share slides as a virtual background. And that's on the desktop for Windows and Mac. We'll share a link to it if you don't already have this. So you can't, it's not on the free version. You can't do it. You have to actually be subscribing to the software program. But it's a really cool thing. Teams doesn't have it. There are hacks for doing it. But Zoom actually supports it.
And the way it works is you upload them and they get interpolated, right? So it's not a live, so you don't get animation. Is that correct?
That I can't tell you. I'm that would be disappointing, but it makes sense.
I believe that I did a test run of it and you upload it just like you upload slides to like Adobe Connect or whatever, and it translates them, it converts them. So it's not as though you have PowerPoint up.
Good to know.
Yeah.
PowerPoint becomes your design tool.
Yes.
So, you know. But it's a step in the right direction. I have started playing with the beta of which you introduced me to, Sandy. And that also does not have, well, actually, I shouldn't get too far into it because there's some things I like about it. There's some things I don't. But you are able to share a screen behind you. So in that case, you can share PowerPoint running.
Speaking of,
there's still some negatives that I don't like about it, but they're working on it.
Well, speaking of, I just completed a survey that was sent out to Windows users, and it looks like maybe they're at least thinking about offering it beyond the Mac. So I completed that in hopes of hearing from them soon. That's
All right. Speaking of other Microsoft Office apps, this is cool for Microsoft Word online only right now. They now have a transcription tool What this means essentially is if you have an audio recording of like three or four people, you can bring that audio file into Word, again, only online right now, and it will turn it into text, including who is speaking. So you can create a whole literal transcript of people. So, you know, I haven't played with it. You know, I'm sure it's, you know, it's first generation, but hopefully this will start.
It's awesome. A lot of people will be familiar with the software called Otter. I think it's with an AR, but anyways, Otter is one that we've used for other projects. And, I've read some reviews on this one already and they already compare it to Otter. I was like, oh, that's the reason I got interested. Like we've used that software. They already say it's better and more amazing than that. But it has a limit. Like you can only capture so many hours of audio transcript, you know, speech to text elements per month per user account, and there's no way to raise it. So it's not a pay for service. But yeah, I think this is going to be big, and it's not available in PowerPoint, which is a huge disappointment at this stage.
Hopefully at some point.
Yeah, it's so, yeah, this whole this transcription thing is going to change a lot. I just did for a project, we just estimated using another company, a transcription service. So this is going from speech to text. That one is, anyways, we just did a huge estimate and we're spending $3,500 for one meeting to have live transcription done. And I'm looking at this going, I could literally accomplish almost the same thing using a couple of Microsoft Office tools because they're getting that good and I could include it. And I'm like, okay, that was $3,500. So I offer it and say it's going to be 90% accurate at about 50% the rate. The client's happy. Microsoft's happy because we're using their tools. I don't know. Just going in circles. I think within a year, the whole world's going to change on the transcription thing.
I think so. Mm-hmm. On the Mac, small little thing, inserting audio has become easier. it's something I rarely do. So I can't even speak to how it was before, but now you just go to insert and record audio. There's a big red button. You click it and it just pops right into your PowerPoint file. So that's gotten a little bit easier.
So you couldn't do that before? I'm so sorry. I didn't know that.
You could. It was not as easy. Let's just put it that way. So it's a really small, it's a small tweak, but it's gotten a little bit easier. Also on the Apple front, Troy, you have something?
I think we're talking about the same one. You can talk about images on Apple.
Yeah, go ahead.
And video, go for it. No, you go for it. You're the Mac guy. Although I'm excited. This one applies to Windows.
So Apple has these weird, I don't even know how to pronounce them, HEIF and HEIC image files, the sort of format that you may have run into at some point. Like my wife was running into the other day. She had to do an online conversion of it before she could upload to Shutterfly. So, you know, it's Apple doing their thing. So sometimes it gets annoying. But anyway, those are now supported in Office apps. I think on Windows, you're still going to need a codec or something.
For the video side, you're going to need it on the Windows. But the Microsoft Store actually has one. This was the part I was going to say. So their video is HEVC. Basically, it's super high quality, super small files. I mean, it truly is. But Windows doesn't know how to interpret them. Mac OS, it was obviously updated. But the Microsoft Store, 99 cents, they have a codec available. So, and because every corporate user can access the Microsoft Store, I believe for the most part, you can now make this functional. So you could take those files and put them in PowerPoint is the key.
It still feels like all those, like the days of WMVs with codecs and things like
that. So it's the Wild West.
Use an MP4. Just get it into MP4 exactly. If you can. There are online conversions and things like that. So
actually, you know what? I'm just thinking this through. You could actually import an HEVC, which is their high compression video, put it into PowerPoint. As long as you have the codec, it'll be recognized. Then you could go into the PowerPoint's conversion. In other words, optimize it. It'll turn it into an MP4 that you could extract. And
well, that's smart.
Oh, that's good.
You could do it all within the Office world.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, I have news. SlideShare. With LinkedIn. I know. I remember when a standalone, it was cool and people, there were great contests and people introduced really great PowerPoint presentations. Well, anyway, SlideShare is leaving LinkedIn. I even have SlideShare videos on my LinkedIn profile. I need to take them down, but they're leaving LinkedIn and becoming part of Scribd.
I don't know.
Yep. I don't know.
I think it's Scribd, even though it's not, you know, it's the kids' way of saying it.
Yep. So trying to figure out the connection there, why they're doing it, I don't know. But, you know, they describe it as described as a digital library with resources for books, magazines, audiobooks, documents, and a focus on feed your curiosity. So not quite sure where this is going, but you know what? LinkedIn, Microsoft, whatever, wasn't doing anything with it. So maybe it'll...
All right. So exciting news on the PowerPoint add-in front. If you were at the presentation summit, you saw a few of us announce this, and the people who are behind this were also in the exhibit hall. There's a new PowerPoint add-in. It's called SlideWise. It's from a company called New Power, and they're most known for their compression add-in, which we've talked about a lot, called NX PowerLite, which is the tool to use for office compression. All right, so what is SlideWise? It's a solution to many asks that that users have been asking for years and years and years, mainly the ability to examine a PowerPoint file for embedded media like images and videos and see how large those are, what slides, where they are, how much space they're taking up, so you can manage file size. So it's a sidebar. I mean, it installs like any other add-in, and then it pops up this sidebar that does an analysis, and it says you've got, you know, 50 megs of images, and you arrow down and says you have, you know, 20 megs of PNGs and 10 megs of JPEGs, and then you go down further and it identifies each one of them. You can, by clicking it, you go right to the slide. You can see that, like, wow, I didn't know I had a 30 meg TIFF, you know, here. Mm-hmm. Yes. How did I get in here? Let me fix it now. So previously, the only real way to figure out what specific images, like the sizes of specific images, was to use that unzip trick. Mm-hmm. So now you can surgically go in, you know, either delete it or compress those things or swap them for something else. So that's the, and does the same thing with video and audio and a few other sort of detail, like weird metadata and other stuff, just to sort of fully analyze it. But also the other part of this is it also examines your font usage. So now it will show you all of the fonts you're using in a file. It will tell you if the fonts are embedded or not. Again, it's all or nothing in a PowerPoint file. If they're not, you can, with one click, embed them from SlideWise. You don't have to go into preferences, or you can unembed them. And then the really, really cool thing is you can replace fonts, either batch all at once. You can say, wow, I've got 20 different fonts here. I want them all to be Calibri. You select them all, say change to Calibri, boom, it's done.
No matter what type they are, the
one. Doesn't matter, single byte, double byte, triple byte, quintuple byte, whatever.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it works. And you can also do it, you can also replace with your theme fonts, your body, heading, everything. Thank you, Julie Turberg, for that one. So a number of us have been beta testing and giving advice and everything. And so I've seen it, you know, develop, and I'm just really excited about this because I'm already using it like on a regular basis.
You've been asking Microsoft. We have been asking Microsoft for a lot of these tweaks for a long time.
A long time. Yeah. So mm-hmm. If you just need to analyze your file and figure out what's going on, replace fonts, you know, figure out why it's so large, this is the tool you want. So it is being released in a pre 1.0 version at this point. So it's not, they're not quite ready for prime time, but they want to get it out. They want people to start using it. So it's being released as a pre 1.0 version at a reduced cost. If you buy it now, you will get the 1.0 when it is released eventually. But they want feedback. They want to make it even. They want to make it perfect, which will be the 1.0 version. And we have 5 licenses of this to give away to our listeners. Sandy, how are we going to give them away?
Ooh, okay. So we've got 5 licenses, and we are literally going to bribe you to get them. Here's how we're going to do it. The first 5 new reviews on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you subscribe to podcasts where you listen to this. So if you're on Stitcher or I can't remember all of them. I use Stitcher, so that's where
Spotify.
I'm stuck.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Spotify. Thank you. Give your review, use a username that we can identify, and then take a screenshot of that review and email it to info@thepresentationpodcast.com. Now, we'll have that listed in our notes, but just if you're jumping off the podcast right now, it's info@thepresentationpodcast.com. Just some background. Even if you've given a review before, We want a new one. So go ahead, you know, tell us how you feel about the podcast. And you know what? We're open to suggestions for content or answering your questions, or just tell us you love us.
Hey, but that email is really important because I'm looking at the older reviews and we haven't had reviews in a while I'm on iTunes, Apple Podcasts.
We've been poor about asking for that.
I don't know who I am late now is, but that's their username. So this will help us match it up so we can get you the licenses. We've got them. They're in hand. SlideWise is here.
Yep. And that's why we're asking you to send us them a screenshot so that we can connect to that email address to that perhaps obscure handle. So now that we've just lost an entire group of listeners, as you've jumped off to iTunes or wherever, I'm okay with that. But thank you. We must move on. And we have two fantastic guests joining us today.
Okay, the presentation summit was last month. Can you believe it's already been a month? Well, okay, it's last month by calendar, but not by number of weeks. It was for the presentation industry, and it was full of firsts. It was the first time it was a virtual conference. To my knowledge, it was the longest virtual design conference with all live presentations. In other words, nothing was pre-recorded for that event. We have heard from many of the attendees, it was their first online meeting that kind of went beyond the Zoom, Microsoft Teams, you know, GoToMeeting style virtual event. And it was the first presentation summit Nolan, Sandy, and myself were at the same event, but did not have the ability to chat and hang out together in person. It was just a disappointing thing from that standpoint. And today we are joined by the Presentation Summit Director, Rick Altman, and one of the key staff, Sheila McGurran. So let's get going.
Hi, Sheila. Thanks, everybody. Rick.
Hi.
Yeah. Hi.
Welcome.
It's so good to see you. Or, well, you know what I mean.
Well,
yeah.
Good to talk again through a virtual platform yet again.
That's just the new meaning of the verb to see, you know?
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Now, we've had Rick on before. We have not had Sheila on, I don't think.
No.
Right?
I'm excited to talk with you, Sheila.
Yeah.
So when I ask this next question, I, you know, seriously, both of you feel free to answer it, but I'm just curious. I know, Rick, you hung on to the hope of an in-person event for as long as possible. Were you ever close to saying no presentation summit this year?
I was not close to saying no conference this year, but I did contemplate retirement once. I remember saying to myself, maybe this is just how it ends for me. That you know, this is the universe saying it's time to just retire from the conference. I wouldn't say I entertained the notion, but it entered my head. But short of retirement, I never thought that we would or should just simply cancel the year.
Well, good. I'm glad you can retire.
God.
So Sheila, did you have any insight to this "I might retire" fleeting thought that passed through Rick's head?
Rick did not share that little piece of information with me until right now. And no, I had no idea.
That's probably
but
true.
I'm very, very glad that
the world, this is news to everyone.
That was quite a statement there, Mr. Altman.
It's going to it's gonna have to happen eventually.
No.
No.
On our next episode of Soothing Revelations to the World, we will talk. Okay, what's our next conversation point?
Rick, so we thought it was a success. I mean, I think that was the general opinion of the conference. You know, we heard you talk about record attendance. There were dozens of talks, lots of interactivity. Give us some statistics on everything this year.
Yeah, well, I think I want to turn that over to the Jill of all trades, to Sheila. The platform offered a lot of analytics, and Sheila, you've been going through them, right?
I have. We've got some great numbers to share. Nolan, from our perspective, you know, not knowing what to expect going into this, we also feel like it was quite successful. We had over 400 attendees, yes, which is nearly double the number that we would usually get at an in-person event. We had 269 first-timers. We had representative attendees from around the world. We're typically somewhat international, but this time we had 19 other countries represented.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing. We had we streamed 26 gig of video. Yes, that quite a bit. And we were really able to realize Rick's vision of offering the live interactive sessions. I think Troy mentioned it earlier that none of our sessions was pre-recorded, and that certainly brought some complexity to it. But we're so happy with the way that turned out.
What were some of the other countries?
Oh my gosh. We've got people as far away as Australia, Barbados, Brazil, Bulgaria,
South Africa,
Romania, some really, really interesting.
Well, you should know, we are, Troy, what we are, number 21 in the United Arab Emirates for podcast and design.
According to the stats we got this week. Yeah.
Yes, we have listeners there. So you said 400, is that 400 attendees or registrants? Like, how many people were like actually there versus viewing things later? Obviously, if somebody's in Australia, that's going to be hard for them to in real time be joining.
Hmm. Well, maybe I could redirect that question, because I know right before we started, Rick made a comment. So we're basically a month out and you guys just had another registration for the event so they can get all that amazing information, correct?
Yeah, we've had about at least a dozen sign up after the conference has ended.
I recommended to one of my colleagues that they do exactly that.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
All of the content is available, and absolutely, you can have access to it for the next 6 months.
And it's seamless. I mean, I've logged back in and it's like the conference is still going on. You're just, you know, click mm-hmm. everything. And one thing for people who didn't attend, this was a real plus for me on this. And this is, you know, for the platform, as soon as a session was done, it was available by video. So there was none of this like, well, wait 4 weeks for us to put the videos up. I mean, it was instant. And so if you go back in there, it's even the chat is still up. I think you can still add to the chat, right?
The chat is still active. Yeah.
I don't know if anybody else is going to respond, but
no, I've had people reach out to me via chat.
So yeah. Mm-hmm. So it seems like it's still active. I mean, it is. I mean, for all intents and purposes.
Well, let me ask this question then, because, you know, remote presenting is kind of the new norm. I mean, it came upon us really rapidly. It's like everybody got forced into it because everyone, including yourself, Rick, were remote presenters. Let's talk about what you experienced personally from your sessions and what you observed many of the other conference presenters experience. So, Rick, you kind of get to be the umbrella. Hey, here was my experience and here's what I heard and saw, because this is a great, because I mean, this is presentation specialist presenting. Many of us are presenters. Many of us are, you know, prepping materials. But I think this is a benchmark for remote presenting, in my opinion, this event.
Yeah, and you know, we did kind of put ourselves up to that. You know, we've sort of been the standard bearers for best practices in the presentation community. And so even though none of us really had a clue what was going on, we still needed to wear that mantle. So I felt that whatever we did, we needed to sort of be modeling all of this. And you mentioned my insistence on having everything be live. The other insistence was that we not just be a bunch of talking Zoom heads. We needed to do something beyond just that. And so this idea of us all sort of being in our own little television studios, I think that gave us a tremendous amount of control. But it was also isolating. Several presenters mentioned that to me, that when you do this, you're more isolated than if you're just on a Zoom call, because you're, first of all, you're 20 seconds ahead of what they're hearing. and your contact with the outside world is your meeting host, and that's it. So you have to break through that. You have to warm to the camera. You need to be making eye contact with the camera. You can't just be looking down at your notes, because most of the time you're on. And so there is a whole set of skills that needed to be learned, and you know, new customs almost to become comfortable with. And I thought that for the most part, people just did a brilliant job with that, because most of my presenting team, yeah, they'd given webinars before, but they hadn't done anything like this.
So what were some of the best practices that the team used? I mean, yourself included. You mentioned several of the things, but give some examples of what Mike or Nolan or, you know, the presenters actually used as best practices.
Well, I think the whole idea of having meeting hosts was novel for us. I mean, yes, you know, we all know about moderating Zooms, and that's pretty much where it came out of. I want somebody just to be monitoring the chat. We didn't realize that when we add this whole television studio metaphor to this, that the role of the meeting host just takes on such a higher degree of importance. And I hope that as the standard bearers, people say, hey, you know, that presentation summit, they did this thing where every presenter also had somebody with them, introducing them and talking with them, and, you know, as if it was a television talk show almost. And I think that really worked. Nolan was one of six meeting hosts, and I think he'll agree that he worked pretty hard at that, and it was effort well spent.
It was difficult because, yeah, you have to pay attention to the host, but then you also have to pay attention to the chat and try to respond there and try to keep things moving. And it's and I should point out, there's also a broadcast manager. So there would be basically three people on. The broadcast manager was really handling the technical aspect of it. So the host didn't have to, but still, yeah, it was tough to be engaged with you're engaged on the chat and with the speaker. And that's hard. It's hard to do both.
But I think it was worth it. And, let me go back to, last month's podcast, where Julie Terberg said it felt more real to me than the virtual conferences that she had attended, where there was more pre-record and when there wasn't that kind of interaction. And that is exactly what we were after, is some feeling that we could transcend these barriers of virtual and get to a place where we could feel the community that we have enjoyed being part of for 17 years now. You know, we couldn't just concede that because we were going virtual. We had to find a way to maintain that.
And that was your real insistence, Rick, right from the beginning, to have these hosts.
It was.
Yeah.
Well, I'll clarify that. We have, as part of our standard practice, we have a broadcast manager, and their job is only to focus on the broadcast happening. In other words, live switching, paying attention to the presenters. And we have a meeting host, but they don't take on the role of what Rick put in place for this. The meeting host for us is the person that is literally in two worlds. They're watching the attendee comments and the question panel, and they're usually just adding them to the broadcast studio chat there so the presenters can, you know, have knowledge of, hey, this is the questions that came in. So we have what we call a meeting host. Actually, Rick had originally gave it a different name, and I said, hey, could we just modify it just to keep my team like a single naming, you know, so we don't get confused. But the meeting host took on a personality in this event. And I've actually stolen snippets to put together in our demo reel of, here's an idea of how you could actually expand this. Now, my next conference coming up, or the next one on this platform, it has moderators. They're all physicians, and so we kind of have a meeting host, but they're literally only in the broadcast studio, and we're feeding them the information. This event set a new standard for interactivity and bringing a personality to that bridge between audience and presenter. So it was put, I was dubious, and I'm now extremely.
Give some examples, Troy, of that personality.
Well, the idea of just somebody introducing instead of just going straight from a little intro stinger, we always do video elements, and the presenter being there was a kind of a friendly introduction. Hey, I'm the meeting host, and, you know, so-and-so is going to talk, and here's their topic, and, you know, bring it on, do a little bantering. And it worked really well because it led right into the Daily Dishes, where Rick got to interview, you know, kind of key personalities, you know, I'll say celebrities, and that kind of banter carried right through the whole conference. And then when there was questions, they would, the meeting hosts went on screen and became a personality and said, you know, Sheila asked this question, this and that. Sandy wanted to know about this. And they literally bantered back and forth, which I think gave a warmer feel to the presenter's presence being in a, you know, they're in an isolated area. You know, they're presenting to a camera with no feedback. And it really, I mean, it really changed my thinking on it. And we've now started weaving that idea into future events.
I'm pleased to hear that. What I will say is that was simply our taking advantage of this community over two decades, because I don't think it would have worked as well if it weren't for the fact that the meeting hosts are all good friends with the presenters. They know one another, they have relationships, and they can draw on all of that. It's not just, oh, nice to meet you. What's your bio? Okay, give me a paragraph. Yeah,
exactly. Let me read it.
You know, these people, well, they're intimate with one another. And that's really what I think the patrons felt.
And truthfully, I think the patrons really, really appreciated the interactivity and being able to ask questions during the session and get those questions answered right away.
Within any session, there's sort of these couple of streams of the presenter and the chat and having to manage those. Sheila, can you talk about the multiple streams that were happening at any given moment in the conference? You had help desk and exhibit hall and other things and side meetings. Can you just sort of run down everything where somebody might be at any given point?
Oh, sure. There were plenty of options. And we had two sessions streaming at any given time, unless it was a keynote or a general session. There were a few of those. The help center was always open during conference hours where people could stop in and connect with one of our technical experts, mostly Microsoft MVPs, and get individual slides looked at or problems discussed. Great resource, one of the best resources that we offer at the conference. We had the chats going along with the sessions. There's also an area called the lounge, where people could stop in and get questions answered there as well. From pretty much everyone in attendance was monitoring that. And a lot of our hosts and even some of our help center staff were answering questions in the lounge. Our partners, we had 16 partner companies who had exhibitor booths. I think Troy mentioned earlier that New Power introduced a new PowerPoint add-in called SlideWise. That was super exciting to have that done during the conference. And our friends at Logitech sponsored a really fun photo contest. They asked patrons to submit a creative picture of how and where they were virtually attending the summit. Our winner, Ann Lepkowski, was watching from her toilet paper fort, which I thought was the funniest one of all of the pictures that came in, and so appropriate for this year.
Sheila, you mentioned, of course, the Help Center is near and dear to my heart. Happened to be one of those MVPs that manned it throughout every single day for the conference. And I think it helped maintain the integrity of something that is unique to the Presentation Summit offering. I think it worked. I was busier than ever. And I guess my question is, do you think that the virtual approach maybe made accessing the experts less intimidating? You know, are we used to clicking a button and getting help? I thought it was awesome.
I think it was one of the areas that we felt might actually be better virtually. And Rick, maybe you can jump in on this one.
Yeah, the you know, this whole notion of access is, you know, on the one hand, in person, the Help Center lives in Conference Central. You walk into Conference Central and there it is. And this year the help center lived in your family room or in your bedroom. Yeah. You know, and it was just, it was one click away. And the ability to so easily share a file, share a screen, and be video chatting all at the same time, I think that that really did bring some unique problem solving potential. And both you, Sandy, and Steve Rinsberg have mentioned that there were some creative solutions this year that were more easily achieved than if it were in person.
What's one thing, maybe other than the help center, that really worked better as a virtual conference than an in-person event?
Wait. I would like Rick to answer this one, maybe from a attendee perspective. And Sheila, maybe you can say something from the back end, because I know that question can be taken two ways, like in setup of the conference, what went better, and from attendee perspective. So I'm just making that question bigger so we can get a bigger answer.
Well, I think it's the two A's. And I'll let Sheila reiterate on analytics. I think the first A is, again, access. You know, we had so many people who attended this year who told us they were so grateful that they could finally attend the presentation summit, where travel and time off and funding in the past had made it impossible. This year, it was the silver lining of the pandemic that they could finally attend the presentation summit. I heard that so often, and it was, of course, very heartwarming to hear that.
Sheila, what about the analytics part of it?
From the analytics perspective, we were able to collect more measurable data from the platform. You know, we know that how many people attended each session. We know who was the most popular, how many people visited the exhibitors, who made connections, how many connections. There's just an endless amount of data that we can pull from this and really get solid numbers related to how this all came out and what worked and what didn't work.
And how we can be even better next year.
Exactly. Awesome.
Which is, I can't imagine possible, but yes, there's always room for improvement.
Okay, so on the opposite side of what was rosy and fantastic, what's one thing that definitely works better as an on-premise or in-person event versus this virtual environment?
How about everything else? as proud as I was of the job that this team did, as grateful as I am for the experience that the patrons told us they had, the great experience they had, I'm sorry. This just, it doesn't compare. This just not in the slightest. And you know, you all know me. I mean, this is my life's work, to bring communities together, to be able to congregate, to be able to press the flesh, handshake, hug, share drinks, and swap stories, and meet people, and be together. These are the things that I live for. I mean that almost literally. Professionally speaking, this is what I live for. So, as wonderful as this virtual experience was, I'm sorry, it absolutely pales in comparison on every single score except for those one or two that we noted.
Well, I think the trivia contest simply will never be the same online.
No, yeah, the trivia contest.
We tried, right?
I tried. Yeah.
The goose chase was another one that was just not going to be possible.
Things we missed. Like for the first year, didn't do the late night business roundtable,
right?
Or entrepreneurs. We were going to change the name of it.
I was a little gun shy about starting the night before. I figured we were asking enough of people to connect for four half days, but But in retrospect, we probably could have.
Yeah, and I certainly missed all that interaction, as you were saying, of mm-hmm. just sitting around a couch, sort of shooting the breeze.
I don't know about all of you, but I was just exhausted. I was so fatigued this time around, and it was a different form of exhaustion for me. And I think I know what I can trace that to, that when we are all together, we can feed off one another's energy. We can give people energy. It's sort of like sharing a candle, you know, and there wasn't that this time. Mm-mm. And so while I only had to go, 3-4 hours each day, and then I could really take time off, it was, I don't think I've ever been as tired as hosting this virtual conference.
So, Rick, let's wrap this up with this. You have announced the 2021 Presentation Summit plans. Yes. Can you make that announcement again for all of our listeners and recap the plans? I guess it's not recap. And tell us what the plans are for next year.
Happy to. So first of all, our dates are going to be September 26 to 29.
Back to the regular weekend week, I should say.
Back to the regular pattern. Yes. Mm-hmm. Start Sunday evening, go through Wednesday. We are going to return to Clearwater Beach, Florida, which is just outside of Tampa, where we had a wonderful time in 2017, right on in a beachfront property. We like it so much. We're going back there, even though it's hurricane season in September. That's how much we want to go back there. And I mentioned to everybody when I made this announcement that in 2017, we were at our second choice hotel because our first choice hotel had not yet been built. We saw the plans. We drooled over it. Now it has been built. It's a Wyndham Grand Resort, which is just about a mile away from where we were last time, but right in the heart of the beach and dining district of Clearwater Beach. And so we're very much looking forward to that. Now, of course, this all assumes that that we will be able to congregate next fall. I like to think that's likely. But either way, there's no way that we can just turf all these people who connected with us for the first time like this. And so we will become a hybrid conference. Perhaps for the rest of the summit's lifespan, we will do this. And this will be another first for us. The technology is already there. The learning curve, I'm sure, will be much, much steeper. Every time Sheila and I sit down and talk about it, we say, "Oh, well, what about this? What about that? How are we gonna do this part of it?" And one way or the other, I think for the virtual guests, it will be more real, more dynamic. They'll be watching live seminars in ballrooms. We are going to have to make sure that we don't create too much FOMO. that will be a real fear. We'll just figure it out. We'll all figure it out together.
We're looking forward to it. It's going to be, I think you're at least from my perspective and other conferences I've attended and spoke at, I think you're really setting a pace, and I'm excited to see the hybrid model, which is going to have to emerge.
I think you can do it. I know you'll pull it off, and it'll, everyone will be as satisfied with or delighted with as they were this year.
Well, I appreciate that sentiment very much. Wish me luck and help me out, please.
Of course, will
do.
Absolutely.
The 2020 Presentation Summit was a virtual conference with record attendance for that event. And I feel, from my perspective of being involved with dozens of virtual meetings and conferences, it was a major success. As a side note, I know we just said up front during that conversation that everything was live and Rick Altman insisted on everything live. I'm going to spill the beans. The only pre-recorded session in that was Rick's session where he was out on the golf course. He actually wanted to do it live. I said, too risky. He did pre-record it. And there was one event pre-recorded, and it was the course directors. Hey, Troy, the ability to register. Hey, the ability to register and catch up on tons of presentation industry how-tos, it's still available. So we're thankful to Rick, Sheila, and the entire team that put this on, that the conference happened this year and that we were involved. And we look forward to the hybrid version of it next September.
So we're going to do some pro and tech tips, as always, and I'm going to kick one off with one that I learned about at the summit in the exhibitor hall from Logitech. We've all been huge fans of the Logitech Spotlight remote, so that's a piece of hardware, but it connects to software that allows you to put a spotlight on your presentation and do a lot of other cool stuff. So they are now beta testing. It's available to the public. Spotlight for mouse. So this allows you to not have to have the hardware at all. Just by using your mouse, you can install the software and then get a cool, not silhouetted, but sort of cut out. You get a spotlight basically where your whole screen grays out except for a circle, and you can move that around just by using your mouse. Now, you do need a scroll wheel. It didn't seem to work with the Apple Magic Mouse in my testing, so I had to get another mouse connected to my Mac to use it. But it's awesome. It's great. We're going to include a link for it. So I don't know if they're charging for it, but right now you can get the beta for free, and it's really cool.
Rick,
you're up.
For my pro tip, and now for something completely different, when you are hosting a virtual conference, it is really important that you find a way to get the F away from the virtual conference. And when it ended at noon on day three, we still had day four to go, I got in the car and I drove over to the ridge and I took a hike. And that was one of the most liberating experiences that I could imagine, to just be able to remove myself from this virtual persona that I was. That was wonderful. I will make sure to do that all the time now. I will say, though, that I wasn't completely disconnected, because on that hike, I had my earbuds and I was listening to the presentation podcast.
Well, I'm going to stay with remote presenting, and my tip is presenter lighting. Most presenters are seated at their desk for these events. So the huge fancy video lighting systems, which we have plenty of, and I brought several of them up to Rick's place to capture his session because, he was moving around a large room. We wanted to make sure he had good lighting. Well, they're going to take up a lot of room for what they accomplish. If you can order them, only because we've purchased at least a dozen sets of these in the past month, and I don't know how the company pronounced their name, Neewer, it's Neewer with the two E's, N-E-E-W-E-R. It's their tabletop LED video lighting kits. They're two 69 diode light heads. They're powered by literally a USB cable. So what a cell phone plugs into, a little cell phone charging block. They're dimmable, which is cute. They have a diffusion hood on them, and they come with some lighting gels, red, blue, yellow. They're just tabletop size tripods for these. They do not take up a lot of space. They do not generate any heat, so you can touch them anytime. And they're under $50. They make the biggest difference you can imagine. And I totally recommend them. You want to light your face and you will automatically look more professional than most do-it-yourself presenters. I will put a link to them in the show notes. But that is my tip, is getting some video lighting for your presentation times, even your Zoom meetings, anything else along those lines. Just help the camera make you look professional.
Troy, I'm staring at a pair of them right now.
Fantastic.
They're great. And I've mounted them. I actually had to buy some separate clips to mount them to the top of a window. But yeah, they do come with great little tripods. But yeah, they're fantastic.
Well, it's funny you should bring up lighting, because I've been using and recommend for lighter use. Well, I don't know. It probably has the same results though, but I use the Ubeezy selfie ring light for live stream, and it doesn't come with the tripod. It comes with a clip, excuse me. So I just put it on the side of my desk. If you don't have a desk where you can clip things, that could be a problem, and you do need the tripod, but I clip it onto my desk and it works really well. Now, do your lights come with like a clip for a phone and a camera?
No. These are actually video lighting kits, and they're not going to do that. The ring lighting is a huge thing because that's one of the few you can put directly in front of you. If you ever look at model shots, like open up a magazine and look for the glamour shots, if you look at their eyeballs, they usually have a little ring light, like a perfect circle. That is from what ring lighting is really from. It's actually made for fashion photography. So using those for obviously video camera work is a good thing. Unless you have glasses, then all you do is get a big glare, and I'm one of those glasses people. So I like them off to the side. Hey, lighting. We agree. It's one of those three key elements for presenting. Okay, let's say thanks to everybody. We'll do a few sign-offs, and everybody, thank you for joining us. This is Troy from TLC Creative Services, a professional presentation design agency. We do lots of virtual events as well. Check us out at tlccreative.com, my blog, thepowerpointblog.com, and we look forward to having more virtual events come our way.
This is Nolan from Nolan Hames Creative. Check out my blog, presentyourstory.com, where you can get lots of free goodies and downloads. And if your organization is interested in virtual training on DataViz or presentation, drop me a line.
This is Rick Altman with the Presentation Summit, eternally grateful for the 400 people that were good sports and took a chance on our virtual conference, and for the however many dozen might continue to go to presentationsummit.com and decide to join the virtual conference that will be active until February.
This is Sheila McCurran. I'm the director of events for R. Altman and Associates. Been working with Rick for the past 18 years on this labor of love we call the Presentation Summit Conference. The content from this year's virtual event is still available, and we'd love to have you register at presentationsummit.com. And we look forward to welcoming you in person to the 2021 conference in Clearwater Beach.
And this is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Whiz. You can visit my website and blog at presentationwhiz.biz, the Presentation Guild at presentationguild.org. And I'm also on LinkedIn as Sandra Johnson, PowerPoint MVP, and Twitter as @PPTWhiz. And this is just a last minute reminder to send us a screenshot of your podcast reviews to info@thepresentationpodcast.com to enter for a chance to win one of 5 SlideWise licenses.
Also through the podcast website, you can contact us with episode suggestions, comments, or questions for the hosts. It would be great if you could mention us, leave a review, and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify. And please, let other designers know about us. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services Incorporated. New episodes release on the first and third Tuesday of each month.